serves me with his own hands, gives me the key he treasures. He converses and delights himself with me incessantly, in a thousand and a thousand ways, and treats me in all respects as his favorite. It is thus I consider myself from time to time in his holy presence. My most usual method is this simple attention and such a general passionate regard to God, to whom I find myself often attached with greater sweetness and delight than that of an infant at the mother's breast, so that if I dare use the expression, I should choose to call this state the bosom of God, for the inexpressible sweetness which I taste and experience there. If sometimes my thoughts wander from it by necessity or infirmity, I am presently recalled by inward motions, so charming and delicious that I am ashamed to mention them. I desire your reverence to reflect rather upon my great wretchedness, of which you are fully informed, than upon the great favors which God does me, all unworthy and ungrateful as I am. As for my set hours of prayer, they are only a continuation of the same exercise. Sometimes I consider myself there as a stone before a carver, whereof he is to make a statue. Presenting myself thus before God, I desire him to make his perfect image in my soul and render me entirely like himself. At other times, when I apply myself to prayer, I feel all my spirit and all my soul lift itself up without any care or effort of mine, and it continues as it were suspended and firmly fixed in God, as in its center and place of rest. I know that some charge this state with inactivity, delusion, and self-love. I confess that it is a holy inactivity and would be a happy self-love, if the soul in that state were capable of it, because, in effect, while she is in this repose, she cannot be disturbed by such acts as she was formerly accustomed to, and which were then her support, but would now rather hinder than assist her. Yet I cannot bear that this should be called delusion, because the soul which thus enjoys God desires herein nothing but him. If this be delusion in me, it belongs to God to remedy it. Let him do what he pleases with me. I desire only him and to be wholly devoted him. You will, however, oblige me in sending me your opinion, to which I always pay a great deference, for I have a singular esteem for your reverence, and I am yours in our Lord. Third letter. For a soldier friend whom he encourages to trust in God. We have a God who is infinitely gracious and knows all our wants. I always thought that he would reduce you to extremity. He will come in his own time and when you least expect it. Hope in him more than ever. Thank him with me for the favors he does you, particularly for the fortitude and patience which he gives you in your afflictions. It is a plain mark of the care he takes of you. Comfort yourself then with him and give thanks for all. I admire also the fortitude and bravery of M. God has given him a good disposition and a good will, but there is in him still a little of the world and a great deal of youth. I hope the affliction which God has sent him will prove a wholesome remedy to him and make him enter into himself. It is an accident very proper to engage him to put all his trust in him, who accompanies him everywhere. Let him think of him the oftenest he can, especially in the greatest dangers. A little lifting up the heart suffices, a little remembrance of God, one act of inward worship, though upon a march, and sword in hand, are prayers which, however short, are nevertheless very acceptable to God, and far from lessening a soldier's courage in occasions of danger, they best serve to fortify it. Let him then think of God the most he can. Let him accustom himself by degrees to this small but holy exercise. Nobody perceives it, and nothing is easier than to repeat often in the day these little internal adorations. Recommend to him, if you please, that he think of God the most he can. in the manner here directed. It is very fit and most necessary for a soldier who is daily exposed to dangers of life and often of his salvation. I hope that God will assist him and all the family to whom I present my service, being theirs and yours. Fourth letter. Writes of himself as of a third person and encourages his correspondent to press on to fuller practicing of the presence of God. I have taken this opportunity to communicate to you the sentiments of one of our society concerning the admirable effects and continual assistances which he receives from the presence of God. Let you and me both profit by them. You must know his continual care has been for above 40 years past that he has spent in religion, to be always with God, and to do nothing, say nothing, and think nothing which may displease him, and this without any other view than purely for the love of him, and because he deserves infinitely more. He is now so accustomed to that divine presence that he receives from it continual succors upon all occasions. For about 30 years his soul has been filled with joy so continual and sometimes so great that he is forced to use means to moderate them and to hinder their appearing outwardly. If sometimes he is a little too much absent from the divine presence, God presently makes himself to be felt in his soul to recall him, which often happens when he is most engaged in his outward business. He answers with exact fidelity to these inward drawings, either by an elevation of his heart towards God, or by a meek and fond regard to him, or by such words as love forms upon these occasions, as for instance, "My God, here I am devoted to you. Lord, make me according to your heart." And then it seems to him, as in effect he feels it, that this God of love, satisfied with such few words, reposes again and rests in the depth and center of his soul. The experience of these things gives him such an assurance that God is always in the depth or bottom of his soul and renders him incapable of doubting it upon any account whatever. Judge by this what content and satisfaction he enjoys while he continually finds in himself so great a treasure. He is no longer in an anxious search after it, but has it open before him and may take what he pleases of it. He complains much of our blindness and cries often that we are to be pitied who content ourselves with so little. God, says he, has infinite treasure to bestow, and we take up with a little sensible devotion which passes in a moment. Blind as we are, we hinder God and stop the current of his graces. But when he finds a soul penetrated with a lively faith, he pours into it his graces and favors plentifully. There they flow like a torrent, which, after being forcibly stopped against its ordinary course, when it has found a passage, spreads itself with impetuosity and abundance. Yes, we often stop this torrent by the little value we set upon it, but let us stop it no more. Let us enter into ourselves and break down the bank which hinders it. Let us make way for grace. Let us redeem the lost time. For perhaps we have but little left. Death follows us close. Let us be well prepared for it, for we die but once, and a miscarriage there is irretrievable. I say again, let us enter into ourselves. The time presses. There is no room for delay. Our souls are at stake. I believe you have taken such effectual measures that you will not be surprised. I commend you for it. It is the one thing necessary. We must nevertheless always work at it, because not to advance in the spiritual life is to go back. But those who have the gale of the Holy Spirit go forward even in sleep. If the vessel of our soul is still tossed with winds and storms, let us awake the Lord who reposes in it, and he will quickly calm the sea. I have taken the liberty to impart to you these good sentiments, that you may compare them with your own. They will serve again to kindle and inflame them, if by misfortune, which God forbid, for it would be indeed a great misfortune, they should be, though never so little, cooled. Let us then both recall our first favors. Let us profit by example and the sentiments of this brother, who is little known of the world, but known of God, and extremely caressed by him. I will pray for you. Do you pray instantly for me, who am yours in our Lord. Fifth letter. Prayer for a sister who is about to make a vow and profession, afresh insisting upon the necessity and virtue of practicing the presence of God. I received this day two books and a letter from sister who is preparing to make her profession, and upon that account desires the prayers of your holy society and yours in particular. I perceive that she reckons much upon them. Pray, do not disappoint her. Beg of God that she may make her sacrifice in the view of his love alone, and with a firm resolution to be wholly devoted to him. I will send you one of those books which treat of the presence of God, a subject which, in my opinion, contains the whole spiritual life, and it seems to me that whoever duly practices it will soon become spiritual. I know that for the right practice of it, the heart must be empty of all other things, because God will possess the heart alone. And as he cannot possess it alone without emptying it of all besides, so neither can he act there and do in it what he pleases, unless it be left vacant to him. There is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Those only can comprehend it who practice and experience it. Yet I do not advise you to do it from that motive. It is not pleasure which we ought to seek in this exercise, but let us do it from principle of love and because God would have us. Were I a preacher, I should above all other things preach the practice of the presence of God. And were I a director, I should advise all the world to do it. So necessary do I think it, and so easy too. Know we but the want we have of the grace and assistance of God. We should never lose sight of him, no, not for a moment. Believe me, make immediately a holy and firm resolution, never more willfully to forget him, and to spend the rest of your days in his sacred presence, deprived for the love of him, if he thinks fit, of all consolations. Set heartily about this work, and if you do it as you ought, be assured that you will soon find the effects of it. I will assist you with my prayers, poor as they are. I recommend myself earnestly to yours, and those of your holy society. Sixth letter, to a member of the order who had received from him a book, and to whom he again enlarges on his favorite topic, encouragement to persevere. I have received from Mrs. Blank the things which you gave her for me. I wonder that you have not given me your thoughts of the little book I sent to you, and which you must have received. Pray, set heartily about the practice of it in your old age. It is better late than never. I cannot imagine how religious persons can live satisfied without the practice of the presence of God. For my part, I keep myself retired with him in the depth of center of my soul as much as I can. And while I am so with him, I fear nothing, but the least turning from him is insupportable. This exercise does not much fatigue the body. It is, however, proper to deprive it sometimes, nay, often, of many little pleasures which are innocent and lawful, for God will not permit that a soul which desires to be devoted entirely to him should take other pleasures than with him. That is more than reasonable. I do not say that, therefore, we must put any violent constraint upon ourselves. No, we must serve God in a holy freedom. We must do our business faithfully without trouble or disquiet, recalling our mind to God mildly and with tranquility as often as we find it wandering from him. It is, however, necessary to put our whole trust in God, laying aside all other cares and even some particular forms of devotion, though very good in themselves, yet such as one often engages in unreasonably, because those devotions are only means to attain to the end. So when by this exercise of the presence of God we are with him, who is our end, it is then useless to return to the means, but we may continue with him our commerce of love, persevering in his holy presence, one while by an act of praise, of adoration, or of desire, one while by an act of resignation or thanksgiving, and in all manner which our spirit can invent. Be not discouraged by the repugnance which you may find in it from nature. You must do yourself violence. At the first, one often thinks it lost time, but you must go on and resolve to persevere in it to death, notwithstanding all the difficulties that may occur. I recommend myself to the prayers of your Holy Society and yours in particular. I am yours in our Lord. Seventh letter. At the age of nearly 80, exhorts his correspondent, who is 64, to live and die with God, and promises and asks for prayer. I pity you much. It will be of great importance if you can leave the care of your affairs to and spend the remainder of your life only in worshiping God. He requires no great matters of us. A little remembrance of him from time to time, a little adoration, sometimes to pray for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings, and sometimes to return him thanks for the favors he has given you, and still gives you, in the midst of your troubles, and to console yourself with him the oftenest you can. Lift up your heart to him, sometimes even at your meals, and when you are in company. The least little remembrance will always be acceptable to him. You need not cry very loud. He is near to us that we are aware of. It is not necessary for being with God be always at church. We may make an oratory of our heart, wherein to retire from time to time, to converse with him in meekness, humility, and love. Everyone is capable of such familiar conversation with God, some more, some less. He knows what we can do. Let us begin, then. Perhaps he expects but one generous resolution on our part. Have courage. We have but little time to live. You are near 64, and I am almost 80. Let us live and die with God. Sufferings will be sweet and pleasant to us while we are with him, and the greatest pleasures will be, without him, a cruel punishment to us. May he be blessed for all. Amen. Use yourself, then, by degrees thus to worship him, to beg his grace, to offer him your heart from time to time, in the midst of your business, even every moment if you can. Do not always scrupulously confine yourself to certain rules or particular forms of devotion, but act with a general confidence in God, with love and humility. You may assure of my poor prayers, and that I am their servant, and yours particularly. Eighth letter, concerning wandering thoughts in prayer. You tell me nothing new. You are not the only one that is troubled with wandering thoughts. Our mind is extremely roving, but as the will is mistress of all our faculties, she must recall them and carry them to God as their last end. When the mind, for want of being sufficiently reduced by recollection, at our first engaging in devotion, has contracted certain bad habits of wandering and dissipation, they are difficult to overcome and commonly draw us, even against our wills, to the things of the earth. I believe one remedy for this is to confess our faults and to humble ourselves before God. I do not advise you to use multiplicity of words in prayer, many words and long discourses, being often the occasions of wandering.